Revelations, the story of the frames.
By the spring of 1991, at the age of 20, Glenn had signed to Island Records and put together his first band, The Frames. But even at this early stage, he came up against differences of opinion with the record company. As he recalls, his first encounter with big business would not bode well for future major label relationships.
The Frames was formed, and then a few weeks later, the sort of Island Records officials, you know, and Denny came over to sort of have a look at Glenn's band and see if they were up to scratch or whatever. And of course, they hated us and thought I should sack everyone and, you know, and get like a bunch of session musicians. And that was the moment when I realised that you know, that they were wrong and I was right, you know. And that was the first clash we had. You know, they didn't think the Frames were any good, and I thought we were deadly.
Dave Odlin remembers a distinct feeling around Dublin that the Frames were spoiled brats who hadn't paid their dues.
It's funny because, you know, I definitely know, especially having spoken to people about it, you know, there seemed to be this kind of resentment in a way, almost, of a band that had kind of gotten a record deal without ever doing anything. And it's like, at the time, we didn't have a record deal, Glenn did, you know, and the record label very much wanted it to be a Glenn record deal. They didn't want a band. They wanted to, you know, sign a singer-songwriter, and they wanted to sign the person that they had heard on the demo. And, you know, the band that he was putting together wasn't that band.
Glenn recalls that the local press didn't exactly fall in love at first sight either.
It seems to me that when we first started as a band, because we were quite uncool, actually, you know. I think we were probably radically uncool because we were buskers, right? First of all. Also, we were, you know,
bands. Long hair.
We had long hair. We were kind of hippies, you know, let's face it, you know. We were no Big Geraniums, no, I've got to tell you, you know. we didn't go that far. But it's like the bands were around us, like the Pale and you know, and Engine Alley. They seemed to have this incredible, almost journalistic intelligence in their music. But all our reviews said we were a bunch of hippies. And we were coming out of a time when the Hottest Flowers were, you know, were a big, big band, and they just kind of started to not be such a big, big band. And like the Saw Doctors were popular, and there was this kind of naffness to like an acoustic guitar and a fiddle, you know, like right after the Waterboys moved to Ireland, somehow their downfall almost pulled us with them. Do you know what I mean? If the Waterboys were suddenly, you know, not a cool band, then suddenly a band that's influenced by the Waterboys are twice as uncool.
If the band were uncool then, Glenn was about to become involved in something he would end up regretting for years to come. Shortly after the Frames began rehearsing for their first album, he was offered the part of Outspan in Alan Parker's film The Commitments.
Fuck me! Whoa. I'm just singing Mel LaCroix's arse coming down the ladder!
Yeah. The Commitments thing was funny because it came out of a time when I was really excited because I had just signed my first record deal, so got the part and didn't think any more about it. Because we were rehearsing for our first album. Remember, this is an important time for the Frames, the most exciting time for the Frames. We had a couple of gigs booked. We were going to play some gigs, do some rehearsals, and go make a record. And in the middle of it, then suddenly there's 3 months of my life where I have to be in Dublin, you know, every day and make this film. And then we had a gig right in the middle of shooting. And I remember saying to Alan, look, I really need, because he had said to me, if you need any time off, anyone needs any time off, just let us know, give us a good week's notice so we can. So I gave him a week's notice and I said, listen, I've got this gig and I really need to. And it just happened to be the night that they booked the Dart. They booked the Dart for a scene where we're all, you know, Destination Anywhere, and we're all sitting on the Dart, and it was the same night as the gig.
This was an early example of Glenn going head-to-head with an authority figure to maintain control of his music career.
It's funny, actually, because when you watch the film, there's a part in the film where you see me looking out the window and I'm looking at a Frames poster for the gig that's going to be on the next night, because they had to reschedule the Dart night. And he was like, I can fire you from this film, I can get rid of you, blah, blah, blah. And he put it to me, he said, you're not doing your gig. And I said, I am. And he says, no, you're not. You're doing this film. You signed up to this film, and we're only a few days into shooting, and, or a few weeks into shooting, and I'll replace you. And I was like, well, you'll have to replace me because I'm in a band and that's what I do. And your film is your thing. This isn't my thing. This is, you know, I had to lay the law with him, and me and him got, it was well heavy actually, to be honest, because, you know, he I think he appreciated it in the end, you know, because he said to me a year later, you know, I actually, you know, I respect you more for what you said, but at the time I wanted to kill you, you know. So the Frames gig happened and the Dark Knight was cancelled and they lost whatever it was, £25,000 on hiring the Dart line for the night. But what was beautiful about it was that all the cast and crew came to the gig because they had a night off. I mean, a great gig.
But he wasn't free of the commitments just yet. He was contracted to take part in the American publicity tour that coincided with the release of the film, playing as part of the Commitments band. He did make a distinguished new friend on the tour. That friend was Jeff Buckley, also working with the Commitments touring band.
Me and him just got on so well because he was a Bob Dylan freak and a Van Morrison fan, and so was I. And every night we just rattle on about, you know, Van. So we were travelling through America. But when we got to Chicago, I remember sitting in a sound check with Jeff and the two of us were playing and hanging out. And I started playing Once I Was by Tim Buckley because I loved Tim Buckley at the time. I just got into him, actually. I was playing Once I Was and Jeff was like, it was my dad, you know. And I was like, no way. He's like, yeah, he was my dad. I was like, wow. And when I looked at him, I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. I was like, that's a mental. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glenn finally decided he'd had enough of the Commitments treadmill when the band started getting booked for celebrity birthday parties, choosing instead to get back to the real business at hand.
We were supposed to fly back to LA and play at Bette Midler's birthday party. And I remember noticing, and I said to the rest of the lads in the cast, I remember noticing, do you see any of the film people around us anymore? And they were all gone. And we seemed to be sort of surrounded by this structure of management, just kind of new management, who kind of were encouraging the Commitments to become a legitimate band, you know, and sort of go on tour. And I said, you know, this is kind of all over, isn't it? I mean, look around you. And everyone was like, yeah, well, it kind of is. I was like, well, I'm going home. And everyone was like, no, you're not. You've promised your contract. I said, look, I've done me bit, man. Bette Midler's birthday party, you know, come on, have a gig. I went and played the Clifton Blues Festival, the first Clifton Blues Festival gig with the Frames. And the same night, the Commitments were in LA playing for Bette Midler. And I remember sitting in Clifton with Cullum and going, this is deadly, isn't it? You know, look where we are now.
The Commitments opened in Irish cinemas in the spring of 1991 and was one of the year's most successful films. In its wake, though, Glenn Hansard found himself laid open to accusations of jumping on the Commitments bandwagon.
And the thing was, and I had to try point out to everyone, I was in this band before this fucking film happened, you know. You really have to try and understand that, you know, I'm not using anything for anything. I've been doing this since I was, you know, five, you know. I've had this vision, and the film seemed to totally disrupt the whole, you know. It's almost as if, you know, I know it sort of sounds stupid, but it's why I cut my hair off. I wanted to be not recognised as Outs Van Foster. I kind of wanted to just sort of somehow be recognised as your man Glenn out of the Frames, you know. But anyway, so what happened with the film was we did 3 months of work. It was almost like a diversion from where I was going with the band. The minute the film shooting was over, I went straight back to recording and getting into rehearsing and recording the band. So we made our record in the meantime.
While Glenn was making the movie, we rehearsed a lot. We used to rehearse, I think we spent about 6 or 7 months at the beginning just rehearsing.
So Glenn managed to get the acting bug out of his system and the band were gearing up to make their first record. But if the Frames thought that capturing their live sound on record would be second nature, they were in for an eye-opener.
Not too strange to understand. Just sing it!